listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 113 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by SB Live, alongside the baseball guru, Kevin Bohannon. My name is Kyle Sutherland. And Kevin, I am going through some of the things that you had sent me and just throughout the weekend, last week's scores. To me, it's kind of like softball, and it's not really a big surprise this time of year. We don't really know a whole lot. There's just not a whole lot that we've seen, of course, with basketball just now ending. Now, we are fully in to basketball or to baseball and softball season. So here, once we get through spring break and on into April, you start figuring out a few more things. But really, the only thing that we do, as I said in the intro of my softball rankings this week, the only thing that we really know is that we don't know a whole lot. But on the baseball side, you had the Southwest Sporting Goods Classic in Hot Springs. I know that you did a notebook over that last week and had some coverage of it. Valley View, to no one's surprise, they won the event, had some great pitching, really just looking exceptional overall, as we expected them to. So talk a little bit about that, what you saw from Valley View and some of the other teams in the Southwest Sporting Goods Classic over the weekend.
Yeah, it was kind of it's kind of weird because you had some pitchers come out and throw 94, 98 pitches, and Valley View just kind of kept theirs on a pitch count. Nobody was going to throw over 60. And I still think, looking at box scores, they still haven't had anybody throw over 60, and they've played four games. So they wanted to stick to that. The outcome really wasn't what they were looking for. They knew, and that's been their thing all offseason, all preseason, take care, control what you can control. I know it's a ton of coach speak, but it's true. If they do what they're supposed to do and control what they're going to control, the end result will be what they want it to be. So, I mean, that's what they did. Lance Davis looked good. Eli Cresselius looked good. Slade Caldwell looked good on the mound. He didn't hit very well, but he did the second week. He's kind of gotten going a little bit. He had a couple stolen bases the other day in a win over Magnolia Heights. I think he's got like 14 strikeouts through five innings pitched. So it's kind of crazy that they've had some young guys step up. Hudson Rogers had two big hits in the wins that they had over Lone Oak and Maumelle. So, yeah, they've looked the part so far. Fayetteville came down to Cabot last week. That was a big matchup in Class 6A, inter-conference, so to speak. Fayetteville won that game 6-3. Landon Schaefer looked good on the mound. The 6A West has started out like we thought it would. Crazy. Rogers Heritage swept Harbor week one. Swept Springdale week two, so they're 5-0. Rogers swept Bentonville, and then they split with Harbor. So you've got Bentonville West, who hasn't lost yet, and you've got Springdale Harbor, who was our preseason number one. They're ranked number four in our Super 7 poll, but they're going to be fine. Ross Felder had a little back, not injury, but back spasms, just kind of a nagging injury, so to speak. He's not hurt. He's just playing through a little bit of pain. So they're going to be fine. Cabot and Catholic have looked good. And then, of course, Conway, they went down to Prosper, Texas for the 5-tool classic, National High School Classic like they did last year, played some of the best teams out of Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Texas. So they're very well battle-tested. And Cabot and Catholic play today, Monday, March 11th. So a lot of good games on tap this week.
And that was what I was going to point out. We had talked about in the preseason that it was expected that the West would dominate pretty much the same way it is in softball for the most part, other than really Bryant. But then looking at the baseball side, you've got the top four teams, Rogers, and then Heritage, Fayetteville, Springdale Harbor, and then, of course, Bentonville at 7. Cabot and Catholic were those teams that we had discussed that were probably going to be at the top of the Central and everything. You mentioned, I know, in there, Bryant and, gosh, who was the other Central team?
Conway. Yeah.
Conway. So, yeah. That, of course, the 2022 state champion. But like you said, it's still extremely early. Of course, you could think of a Conway coming up in there and sneaking into the rankings. Also, maybe a Bryant at some point. But obviously, yes, again, the West is extremely deep. But just kind of talk about a little bit more. I know you talked about the matchup with Catholic and Fayetteville and everything, but basically I guess what I'm asking is Cabot and Catholic kind of exactly where you thought they'd be at this point 2 weeks in.
They are, and Catholic, they were beating Maumelle 2-0 the other night before rain got them. Catholic's only loss is to Little Rock Christian, and Little Rock Christian threw a no-hitter against them. Tate Collins and Jackson Kircher combined, I think they struck out 16, did not walk anybody, and won 3-1. So they did not give up any walks, struck out 16, and they still gave up a run. It's kind of crazy. I mean, it does happen. It is baseball, especially high school baseball. But yeah, Caleb Short, Asher Hamilton, Jackson England, that's kind of their three-headed monster on the mound. Brooks Ward, All-State center fielder, was on our Scorebook Live All-Arkansas team last year. They're going to be fine, and I'm really looking forward to today. Now, one thing about Cabot and Fayetteville last week, Fayetteville threw their ace. Cabot didn't. Aiden Velasquez did not throw, nor did Cale Turner, who was a state champion wrestler, which was kind of surprising to me because he had wrestled growing up, then kind of took some time off. But yeah, he helped Cabot to a state title in that as well as a team title. So those two on the mound can beat anybody. Those two, Cale, of course, the 2025 Oklahoma State commit. Velasquez is a UCA signee for the 2024 class. So Cabot, you know, things might have worked out different had they thrown one of those two or even both of them. But Avey Singleton is the young man that's going to Harding. Cabot's, it's going to be about finding offense. And I think that's one of the biggest things with the Central teams. Bryant looked really good in the Southwest Sporting Goods Classic in the one game they played. Ridge Sutherland, Oklahoma commit 2025, threw really well. I talked to Coach Garrett Bach about him, and it's all about pinching and defense right there. They were really focused on defense when they came out and played that game. So you beat Maumelle. They just took advantage of three runs in the first, got a couple of walks. So generating runs, you'll see a lot of low scoring games in that 6A Central.
Down in Class 5A, I think the first thing that if you don't really look into schedules that everybody's going to look at, Maumelle at number 3, 1-2. Not holding a loss to Bryant, a two-run loss to Bryant against them, not holding a one-run loss to Valley View against them. I believe it was the Magnolia was the benefit game, wasn't it? So they've beaten Robinson. Okay, yeah. So it's top of the 5A is probably about where we thought it'd be. Of course, Valley View, there's no question they're number one. Little Rock Christian, Maumelle. So there, when you look especially the top five, you've got also at number 4, Greenwood, and then Greenbrier at number 5. So three of the top five teams there in Central Arkansas.
Yeah, Greenwood, excuse me, they've played well, haven't played a really tough competition yet. I want to see them start getting going. I know Coach Brandon Brewer is too. They got some 6A West opponents coming up here pretty soon. Van Buren's playing really well out of that 5A West. They're undefeated so far as well. Greenbrier, they beat Sylvan Hills 14-4. Paxton Flagg has had multiple hits in every game they've played so far. So I really like what they way they look. Carson Zachary's been really good on the mound. Their one loss is to Conway, 6-4. They got down 4-0 on Thursday to Conway and came back and won 6-4. Conway scored 4 in the first, and that was it. They got shut down the rest of the game, and Greenbrier came back and won that game 6-4. They did not get to play the third game of that series, which would have been it would have been really interesting to see who come out on top in that. Kind of the surprise in Class 5A so far has been Lake Hamilton. They're 4-0 in the 5A South. It's not Sheridan, it's not Benton, it's not Arkansas High, who won the conference last year. It's the Lake Hamilton Wolves. Easton Hurley played quarterback, got ACL injury, came back. First start on the mound, struck out 14 of 17 hitters in a win over Arkansas High. They came back and beat Sheridan last week. It was Friday. They're down 5-1 going into the sixth inning. They scored 6 runs in the sixth and seventh inning to win that game 7-5. So Lake Hamilton's kind of taking early control over that 5A South. Marion playing really well. Davis York, they've got a couple of guys on that team that are really good. They've been kind of doing a pitch by committee type deal. So they'll throw the same three guys 2 times a week and keep their pitch count down. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they do in the 5A East right now. They're kind of behind Valley View in that pecking order. Then Batesville, maybe Greene County Tech are the top four once again. Like I said, when we're talking about 6A, Little Rock Christian, Tate Collins and Jackson Kircher looked really good. Kircher has 3 home runs in 5 games. He's hit 2 triples and 4 doubles. So he's already at 9 extra base hits through 5 games. And I think he's a draft prospect. I think he could get drafted high enough to where he actually
This
goes
the, like this year?
this year. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and
Wow.
he got on the radar last spring. I remember I was at Maumelle when it happened, and he got on the mound the end of that first game or the end of that second game. It was 91-93. I get on the horn, start. And of course, his dad, Patrick Kircher, was a scout for a long time, has a lot of good connections. But he at that point, he had not been offered a scholarship yet. And it's at the end of his junior year. So we started spreading the word. Hey, you really need to look at this kid. And he wasn't even ranked in the top 10, a perfect game, PBR, just nowhere to be seen. Got his name out there. He played for the prospects this past summer. Of course, I wasn't coaching, but following. And they played up in Kansas City, and they were facing the Royals scout team out of Kansas City, the one that Robert Moore played for, that's sponsored by the Kansas City Royals. And Carson Wiggins shut them down. I think the prospects won 7-2 or 7-3. And Kircher was like 3-for-4. Anson Siebert, who is 6'8", top, he's a University of Tennessee commit. He's a top 50 draft prospect. Jackson was like 3-for-4 off of him. And from then on, it just went up. Super 60, fast forward to this past February, he was up to 94 on the mound. Exit velocities were 100 plus. So, yeah, he's one of those guys, if the price is right, you know, 500, 800,000, he may sign a pro contract and forego his commitment to OU. So, Tate Collins has looked really good, UCA commit. Cade Bowman is starting to get the bat going. And like we said this with Maumelle when we did our preseason preview. They were going to pitch. They were going to pitch well. Where are the runs going to come from? Can they score enough? So the game they won against Robinson, they won 5-0. They didn't walk anybody. Blaze Ward, the Missouri 2025 commit, hit a 3-run bomb late in the game off the fair pole. I know Bubba Carpenter would love that. So, yeah, they got to find some offense.
Man, that's so we could possibly have two guys drafted. Well, I mean, Slade, it's almost guaranteed at this point. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, but
yeah,
you know
Slade,
what I mean?
Slade, unless something crazy happens, Slade's going to go to the end of the first round.
Yeah, so but we could have two, though. That'd be pretty nice. When was the last time that that happened? Has that ever happened that we've had two out of high school?
Yeah, it's happened before. I know. Well, 2020, Tink went.
That's right. Tink Hintz.
Yeah. But Caden, they had talked to Caden. Of course, that was the year of the 5-round draft in 2020.
Right.
And he didn't go. Braylon Bishop went in 21. Yeah, so it's been a while since two have gone. But, yeah, two have been drafted before in the same year out of high school. We'll just have to see if it works out that both go high enough to sign this year.
Yeah, definitely. Well, then heading down to 4A, I want to start here with the number 7 spot with Huntsville. I can't remember if we discussed them in the preseason. I know that's a team that we've talked about.
We really didn't, yeah.
I didn't think we touched on them much. I know they weren't in the Super 7, but we've obviously talked about them a lot in the past. But kind of just still in your words here, I mean, they've quietly started 8-0, and that was similar to what I was thinking. I was looking after we did that because that was actually one that I went back and started looking at their schedule because I noticed that we didn't talk about them much a couple of weeks ago. But look, I mean, that you look at what their performance in the Northwest Arkansas showcase. I know Caden Evans is one that really showed out for him. I think there was one more in there as well, but got that matchup against number 6 Gravett coming up this week.
Yeah, and that early season matchup the last few years has kind of led to the pecking order in that 1-4A conference. So you also got Shiloh and Farmington up there too. So you got to run the gauntlet, and they only play a single round robin, then they go to a district tournament, which determines seeding for regional. So that's going to be a really important game in terms of conference positioning early on. And yes, they're 8-0. The Northwest Arkansas Showcase featured a lot of teams, a lot of different venues and everything. Coach Greg Harris talked about it. They've been really they really hyped it up this year. Russellville went up there, and Huntsville beat Russellville 7-6. Yeah, Russellville is not a top 5A team, but they're still a 5A program with a few college commitments. So Cade Palmer's going to Euler as a 2025 catcher. Peyton Kaufman's going to Missouri State, West Plains. And then Russ Martin's a 2025 Razorback commit. So anytime you beat a team with three good college commit, two of those being D1, you're going to turn some heads. So I really like the Eagles. They've been there to 2 years ago. They made it to the semifinals and won the regional. They just got to have a little bit more push at the end of the season, a little bit more depth for Coach Harrison. They'll be a little bit further along. Brooklyn, they've played really well. I lost to Marion this past weekend. They beat Morrilton 9-8. That was a really good matchup. Weston Spear, Griffin Duvall, Jake Reese, we've talked about. They've really done really well. The Marion game was 1-0 in 9 innings. You don't see that in late February, early March in baseball. You just don't see it. Pitching really dominated. Jake Reese went 6 2/3 innings. He's a 2025 prospect. And the game ended on a pop fly that should have been caught. Had two strikeouts and then pop fly just wasn't caught. So they could probably still be playing for all I know. So Brooklyn's looked really good. They're playing the same hard schedule that they played last year. They're performing better early on because last year they started out like what 2-9, 1-8. I mean, it was bad. People were saying, why are they still ranked? I'm like, they're good. It showed they got to the semifinals in 4A. But they did lose to Lone Oak 10-1, 11-1. It was that was at the end of the first week, and they'd already played like four games. So Robinson's looked good. They've got four guys that can go out and pitch and beat just about anybody. They've got a game. They got a doubleheader with Lone Oak coming up soon. But yeah, Lone Oak still head and shoulders above everybody else. The one loss, of course, coming at the hands of Valley View. Still, Eves looked really good against Batesville. Struck out 12. Didn't walk anybody. Only gave up 3 hits. They get Jackson Engel back today, I think. He's supposed to go to the doctor, get released. They get him back, Trip Sullivan back. They're just going to be rolling. Cutter Culvert's been hitting well. He went 3-for-4 with like 4 RBIs the other night. Shut down Mills the other day, 33-0 combined. We only gave up 1 hit. So big time for Lone Oak there. They may just lose one game. I don't know. I know they play a couple other tough teams later in the year. But they could have 1 or 2 losses at the end of the year again.
They're in the region five with Robinson, yeah. Aren't they? Okay.
Yeah, so Robinson, PA. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a brutal conference, no doubt. Then heading down to 3A, we talked about in the preseason episode that it could be a big year for the private schools, Harding Academy and Central Arkansas Christian. You've got them at number one and number two. CAC is an interesting story because they just won a state championship in basketball. Webb Watson. Also, Grayson Wilson, of course. Everybody knows about Grayson Wilson. And then Webb Watson also is a D1 commit going to Memphis, or I guess maybe a signee at this point.
Yeah,
but, he's signed already. So, you know, look, Harding Academy, we say it all the time. I mean, when you're a defending champion, when you're a multi-time defending champion like Harding Academy is, you're the top dog until somebody beats you, whether you're number one or not. But CAC really in that, you know, now that they know what it takes, a lot of those guys that are going to be playing baseball, they know what it takes to win a state championship, albeit in another sport. But they were one game away from the baseball state finals last year. So you as a guy who has won a state championship, I never have. It doesn't really matter what the sport is. You kind of it all in a lot of ways. Whenever you get one, that at least kind of shows you a lot of the things that you need to do to win another. And these guys have the talent to go along with that.
Yeah, take Bigelow, for example, and look what they've done. So when we've talked about them on the podcast, and I've talked about them on the radio and things, you get to this finals in baseball, you've had success in football, but didn't quite get there. They got over the hump this year and won. They beat EPC to win their 2A state title. They won a golf title. So won a basketball title last year. That's all Hunter Neumeier and Carter Alexander are missing is a baseball state title. And that could change this year. It's going to be really tough to beat Woodlawn. So fast forward, look at Central Arkansas Christian. A lot of it's a smaller school. Are they really a 3A school? Probably not. You know, enrollment wise, they're probably a 2A school, but playing up in 3A, they've been winning a winning culture and an athletic program spills over into other sports. Look at Bentonville. Get to the football finals, get to the baseball finals. Softball has been king of the mountain up there in Northwest Arkansas for what, 6, 7, 10, 12 years now?
Up until last year, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, up until last year with Bryant, you know. So, same thing. You just look at some of the teams that have been dynasties. Bryant baseball under Kirk Bach, Mills of the late 90s, you know, Sylvan Hills under Denny Tipton. That winning culture gets infectious and contagious. So yeah, they're 1-2, but yes, they're still ranked number two. Why? Because their basketball guys hadn't got out there, and that's a main core for those guys. And Webb Watson and Grayson Wilson. Grayson, who just – he won the Under Armour Next camp. He was MVP quarterback. So, one day he's winning a state basketball title. The next day he's at a football camp throwing dimes, dropping dimes, throwing, you know, doing his thing as a quarterback. I told him, I said, look, I expect you to throw a no-hitter your first time out or I'm going to be disappointed. Is he going to do that? Probably not, because
he has not lost in varsity yet, by the
way. That's true, yeah. So Hayden Cruz is not going to let him throw a complete game unless it's like four innings and he throws 35 pitches. So I don't expect a no-hitter. That's just – that'd be silly to think that. So, yeah, they're going to be really good. But Gosnell, watch out for the Pirates. Those boys can play. They're playing really well. Their only losses to Brooklyn. They're 7-1. Genoa Central out of that tough 7-3A. Rivercrest has really kind of been up and down. They lost to McCrory in the opener 4-2 and then beat Pocahontas 15-11. Beat Highland, Melbourne. They're off to a 4-0 start, 2-0 in conference. The HGOC, Harmony Grove, Ouachita County, lost 2-0 to Drew Central and got one hit. Caleb Johnson was the one that had the one hit. So they played DeWitt this week. Let's see if the HGOC can bounce back. They got Mason Morgan on the mound. He's been really good. He gave up 2 unearned runs against Drew Central, struck out 11, didn't walk anybody. See, we talked about them in the preseason preview, if they can get over the hump. But Harding Academy, they've looked the part. Bentley Hawks threw 5 really good innings against Magnolia Heights, who is a 6A powerhouse out of Mississippi. Kanan Harris, the first 2 games, hit grand slams in back-to-back games, 13 RBIs, 2 bombs on the year. So, yeah, Harding Academy, Central Arkansas Christian. Then some of those teams really jockeying for that 3-4 position, Gosnell, Genoa Central. Like them.
I think the glaring mistake, and I'm not saying glaring like you're wrong, but the glaring team missing is probably Walnut Ridge. And I would imagine that that is just, you don't really have much on them right now, is kind of what that one.
Yeah. Outside of Nolan Belcher, who's going to Arkansas State, and Rex Tedder, UCA commit, I don't know what else they have. I know right. They got the talent to do that, but they're also in that conference with Gosnell and Rivercrest. So how's that pecking order going to go? And they play a double round robin. They haven't played a whole lot yet. So if they get going, they're definitely a team that can make some noise. They have in the past. It's just a matter of, is their pitching depth where it needs to be to compete with those top 3 or 4 teams?
And then down to Class 2A, number 1 and number 2 spots are the teams that we saw in the state finals last year. You mentioned Woodlawn a second ago. I mean, they're kind of like with Taylor and softball has just been really the best as far as – I mean, I'm not saying they're the number 1 team in the state overall, but at least as far as decorated teams that have won a lot of trophies, Woodlawn is certainly that, you know, on the boys' side and on the baseball side. So they remain in that number 1 spot. Mansfield, number 3, which I believe actually Mansfield is number 3 in our softball rankings this week. And then Carlisle at 4, Bigelow 5, Cedar Ridge 6, and then Rector 7. So, I mean, I think this is probably if I'm not mistaken, I think all of these teams were pretty much some of the main ones that we mentioned in the preseason. You know, Palestine Wheatley, again, you know, haven't played but 2 games coming into this week. But they were the darling last year, and it seems like that they're just trying to pick up right back where they left off.
Yeah, and they have everybody back. Jacob Hickman, who started the game against Woodlawn as a freshman, he's looked good in limited work. So they've beaten Clarendon, they've beaten Cross County. So 2A is really where you start, and of course with the 3A basketball teams, where you really still haven't seen the body of work that we alluded to in the opening of the show today. So it's really kind of hard. Now, Woodlawn, they're always going to play more games than everybody else. They're going to play their 33 games no matter what. I promise. Coach Tommy Richardson will go and play. Anyway, Taylor, they're going to be close to the same thing because of the 5 games they've played, 4 been against outstate competition. Woodlawn, they'll take on 5A, 6A, you know, kind of like Taylor softball that you and I talked about yesterday. Anybody, anytime, anywhere, any place, doesn't matter. They're going to take them on. So Woodlawn is 7-0. They opened up with a 3-1 win over Arkadelphia. Their team ERA, Kyle, is 0.21. 0.21.
I think that'll win you a few.
That'll win you a few. Now, you clean up the defense because obviously they've given up a few runs. You clean up the defense a little bit, you're going to be shutting everybody out. They beat Parker's Chapel 7-2. That's a big conference win for them to start out conference play. I think they're going to head up to Mountain Home, Harrison area, for spring break and play in that tournament that has Norfolk, Cotter, a lot of the North Central teams up there. So they'll get a chance to play some other teams. But yeah, Mansfield 20-5 over Scranton. Trayvon went absolutely berserk that game. 3-for-4, double, home run, 7 RBIs. They got Boonville and Subiaco Academy. They split with Boonville last year. That's kind of a baseball rivalry. Boonville doesn't really care, I don't think. I'll have to ask Glenn Parrish about that. But it's big for Mansfield. So, Mansfield, they've been at 20 wins or more the last 2 years. Carlisle, looking good. You know, their three-headed monster, Jonathan Pickard, he led off the year with a home run. That's really cool. That doesn't happen every time. Holton Jones looked good on the mound. Then Dalton Ward, he's hitting over 500. Their only loss is to a Class 4A box site. Bigelow has yet to get going. Cedar Ridge, they're 4-1. Aiden Jones has looked really good. Him and Kyle Province are both hitting 467. For the T-Wolves, Jones is already 3-0 on the mound. 0.875 ERA for him. Only he struck out 27, only walked 3. Then Rector from Northeast Arkansas, Cooper Rabjohn, didn't get as far in basketball this year, so he's been on the diamond already. He's 2-0. Rector's really looking good in that northeast part of the state. You know, at Horatio, they haven't come in the rankings yet. Episcopal, you know, I had them ranked number 2. Talked to Coach Eddie Stevenson. It's funny. The guys they had coming back, they're just not quite there yet. So they had some transfers. I don't know if they're quite playing yet. By the end of the season, they could be knocking on the door to get back. Greenland, they dropped a conference game to Cotter. That's why they dropped out. They were, you know, right there at the 6th or 7th spot in the preseason, dropped a conference game to Cotter. But Greenland, Jack Stockton, Vaughn in the outfield, they're going to be okay.
And last but not least, in Class 1A, not a lot of shockers here either. Most of these teams, or pretty much all of them, we also discussed. I think you're in a similar position that I was with the 7th spot in 1A. I've got 0-3 Wonderview in there because I just look at a lot of them haven't played yet. Right. But there's also just one of those that Wonderview has a brand new pitcher. I had to replace Lydia Polk, who had 650 plus. So I've got an 0-for team in there as well, just because of the competition that they played in their first three games. But your 0-for team is only 0-1 as opposed to my 0-3. That's Mount Ida. And then going from the bottom to the top, Westside Greers Ferry at 6, Norfolk at 5-0 at number 5, the Party Crashers, and then St. Joseph number 4, Nemo Vista 3, Viola 2, and then Taylor at number 1. Now, I'm going to assume, I have not looked at Taylor's schedule, I'm going to guess both of those losses are to Louisiana schools.
They are. Yes.
Okay.
They are. Yes.
Yeah.
They are to Louisiana schools and higher classification Louisiana schools too. So they opened up the season with an 8-3 win over 2A Junction City. There you go. Junction City, not as good as they have been traditionally, but they still field a good baseball team and they're going to be okay. But yeah, I mean, Kyle, last week, I know we didn't publish the rankings, but I did on Twitter. Bentonville, I had them at 0-3, and they were still ranked in 6A. Why? Because they lost to Rogers all three games. You lose to number 1, you know, take what it is. You and I are really big on strength of schedule. If people cannot tell, Kyle Sutherland and Kevin Bohannon are really big on strength of schedule. You can go 12-0 and not play anybody and go 6-6 and play the top two teams in the state. That 6-6 team is going to be ranked over that 12-0 team because of who they've played and how they've played. So, just a little, you know, insight into how we do our rankings. Kyle, would you agree with that?
1,000%, and I will never change.
Yeah, I won't either. So Viola has outscored their opponents 55-1. They're hitting .629 as a team. Yeah, those teams are towards the lower end of the conference and lower end of 1A. That's still impressive. You still have to put bat to ball and hit the ball. So Braden Williams, Garrett Templeton, they've been really good on the mound along with Seth Worsham. They've only allowed one hit between them in like 13 innings of work. Nemo Vista, they've lost to Dover and Perryville. Those are higher classification teams. It's not going to drop them very much. The Party Crashers, Norfolk, they've looked really good. They got a 7-5 win over Class 2A Cotter. We just said that Cotter beat Greenland. So you use the mathematical formula that everybody uses. Team A beats Team B, so Team A is better than Team C. Not really, because it's baseball and it's athletics. It's sports. Doesn't really work like that. Norfolk will play Westside Greers Ferry. Big matchup for both teams. Westside, they're 2-1. I want to talk about St. Joe's real quick. Nicholas French, first perfect game of the year. And coaches, parents, athletes, when we say perfect game, we're talking about at least 5 innings, At least 5 innings. No 3 innings, no 4 innings. I know run rules are 15 after three, 12 after four, 10 after five. Nicholas French went 6 innings. The game got called due to darkness. He had 15 strikeouts out of the 18 batters he faced. Perfect game. 9-0 win over Poen for St. Joe's. Keaton Story's been good at the plate. I think St. Joe's is going to be in any game with French on the mound. Big 6'2", 6'3", lefty. Going to work low to mid-80s. So St. Joe sits at number four right there. And, you know, like we said, Taylor, they're still kind of feeling their way out. Mason Lindsay, his sister catches for the softball team. Is that correct,
Kyle? Yes, four-year starter. Yeah.
Yeah, four-year starter. So Mason, he's going to be in the middle of everything this year for hits in the two-hole. Waylon Waddell was the MVP of the 1A state title game last year. They're firing all cylinders right now. Got to get a little bit more depth on the mound, but yeah, Taylor still, you know, them and Viola have really shown with the guys they got coming back from last year that they're kind of the top two teams right now, in my opinion.
So back to the Saint. So what game was it? Saint Joe got too dark. You said
Saint Joe's over Poen.
Poen. So was this in Poen? I'm just genuinely curious if there weren't any lights at all or if the lighting was just bad. You know me, I get curious about those little
tidbits. Yeah, so I know that in the past, St. Joe's has played at Curtis Walker and Conway.
Okay.
And sometimes the lights may go out there. I'm just saying. I've seen games called early out there, but it might have been at Poen. I can't really remember. I talked to Coach Davis at St. Joe's and talked to Brent Brewick a little bit about it. But, yeah, I'll figure that out. I'll make sure and put that out there.
Okay, gotcha. No, I was just genuinely curious. Yeah. And then, so that we got through 6 through 1A, 1 through 6A, whichever way you want to put it. I know that we got this week and then got spring break. And, of course, we got some softball teams heading out of state for some tournaments and then baseball as well. Are there some that are going to Florida? I know we've got a few going to Gulf Shores.
Yeah, Gulf Shores Showdown is always a big one. Last year, Rogers Heritage went down and won that. Jonesboro was down there. Batesville was down there a couple of years ago. North Little Rock's been down there before. There's also the Joe T. Robinson Spring Break Tournament. That's going to be the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. They've got 28 to 30 teams coming down from four different states. I think Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, and Tennessee. That's always a good event in Central Arkansas for fans that want to get out and see three really good days of baseball. USA Stadium in Millington, they're hosting an event over there to where teams come over, and they've got some Arkansas flavor in that as well. So, yeah, safe travels. I know we'll do it again next week. We'll talk about a little bit more. We'll find out where exactly teams are going and what their prospects are for winning these events, because it's always good if a team from Arkansas can go out of state and represent the state of Arkansas very well against national competition.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll, like you said, we'll touch more about that next week as well. But kind of just if anybody's curious to get a head start on all that stuff, then that's kind of what we're looking at. So I guess this week is when we're really, like I said, at the top of the show, we're going to be starting our blowout coverage. Kev, I don't know. Are you going to do a notebook this week? I don't know if
Absolutely.
I'm starting. Okay, so you'll do yours. I'm not 100% sure that I'm starting the – I'm so still catching up from basketball. So if I don't have the notebook this week, it will 1000% be by next week. So we'll still have stuff coming out, like you said, with your notebook and then our rankings. The player list that you've already got your pitchers out. I'll have
pitchers
mine
out.
It's probably around
catchers. Yeah, catchers were submitted. So catchers should be out here in the next day or two, hopefully.
So you're ahead of me this year. I think the last 2 years I was at least one ahead, but you're two ahead on me right now. So I got to catch up during spring break. But yeah, no, that's good that we're running. I mean, we just continuously can keep talking about things because it does not stop here. We're going to have it all the way through the state tournament, state finals, and all that good stuff. So it's a great time of year. Hopefully the weather continues. We've had some great weather lately. Normally you see me in a sweatshirt. I've got my tee on today.
Yeah.
Busy time, but we absolutely love it. Like I said, you can check everything out, scorebooklive.com/Arkansas. You can hit the baseball or softball tab to check out mine and Cabo's stuff. Also Jared Hawthorne as well, who is a contributor to the podcast on the softball side. But other than that, that will do it for episode 113 of Arkansas Prep Extra. My name's Kyle Sutherland, alongside Kevin Bohannon and all of us here at SB Live. We will catch you next week.